Good morning and bless you, beautiful hearts. Today is Sunday, May the 31st, 2020. This morning I want to share on further thoughts on forgiveness. 10 days ago, on May 21st, Connie and I celebrated our 43rd wedding anniversary. How in the world did she ever put up with me? Well, it wasn't in the world or through the world that she puts up with me. But be of good cheer, because Christ said he has overcome the world. In John 16, verse 33, it says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Tribulation means mental pressures. We all will be under mental pressures from time to time, whether you're married or unmarried. And I think of Connie's sharing of an incident about going to a sporting goods store. She went back into the fishing equipment section, and she was amazed at the number of lures that were there. Ones that would attract fish in every kind of weather or at any depth of water. Ones for different weather conditions, even specialized ones to attract the different species. Everything from a minnow to a whale. Those poor fish almost do not stand the chance. Then she compared it to our adversary and the way he goes after mankind. By the grace of God and walking in his wisdom, we can avoid getting hooked. It works so well for him. He's an expert and he loves fishing. If you hook one and it gets away, you use the same bait or lure and just keep fishing. It's a sad thing in America, the rate of marriages that end up in divorce. I have shared about an interview I watched of a high school student. The interviewer was asking her how she thought her life would go. She replied, "With my first husband, we will travel the world." The interviewer was amazed that she had planned so well for her life, and her life would not stop her from achieving all of her goals. She said she admired her. As these two trouts sat and conversed there, they were giggling, unaware of the painful suffering that could be ahead. She saluted her. The interviewer saluted the interviewee. And I saw the hook lodged in her gills. I saw this beautiful trout gutted and ready for the grill. Where are we going? About 50% of marriages in the United States end up in divorce. While the divorce rates have dropped, the reason is because fewer people are getting married throughout the years. There's still a 50-50 chance. But God's word has a spectacular record of success. In Christ, we even have results that are out of this world. No failures when applied correctly. Then it went on to say, Oklahoma and Arkansas have the highest divorce rate. Oklahoma has the highest divorce rate at 13.45%, about 32% of them. Just don't get married. In Oklahoma or Arkansas, it's not the state, it's the state of mind. That's the problem. And it seems older people get divorced less, the percentage of women and men who get divorced. We have so many women trained in the martial arts, almost every color belt to match any type of wardrobe you want to wear or any color wardrobe you would want to wear. But Proverbs 4:23 instructs us, and this is from the New Living Translation, "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." You notice it doesn't say feelings. You know, guard your feelings. It doesn't say guard your emotions. Those, a lot of times, are what winds up causing you pain. It doesn't guarantee world travel, but you'll reach a far better destination for your life. 1 Corinthians 10:13 from the Berean Study Bible says, "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide an escape so that you can stand up under it. You are not the common man nor the common woman. God is faithful. You are a child of God with all power over him who thinks he rules the world, as it says in 1 John 4:4 in the New American Standard Bible. Children, you belong to God, and you have defeated these enemies, or he has defeated these enemies for you. God's spirit is in you, and you are more powerful than the one who is in the world. Lots of people endure and stood under pressure. And my advice to women who wanted to get married, and this is for a believer, being married is not the worst possible situation for a believer. There are other things that are worse than not being married. But if you want to get married, work the word of God to become the woman that a believing man just cannot resist. For men, the New Living Translation in Proverbs 18:22 says, "The man who finds a wife finds a treasure, and he receives favor from the Lord." The word "find" means acquire by seeking one who seeks after God. Treasure means goodly, pleasant, what the scripture refers to as to a higher nature, someone that will love you and teach your children to love their father. I say a believing man, you shouldn't settle for anything less. He has promises and expectations from the Lord. And for men, for the women, Proverbs 15:19 tells us, in the New King James Version, "The way of the lazy man is like a hedge of thorns, but the way of the upright is a highway." The word "lazy" means slothful. Ladies, you do not want a lazy man. And then a hedge of thorns is prickly, one that must be handled with gloves, but one who is upright, so the whole family feels safe in his presence, and he leads them on a highway where there are no stumbling blocks. The way is clear before them. Gentlemen, don't be that lazy man. Proverbs 14:29 from the New American Standard says, "A patient man has great understanding, but a quick-tempered man promotes folly." There are enough storms outside. You don't have to add the thunder in your home. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 24 in the Holman Christian Standard Bible says, "A hot-tempered man stirs up conflict, but a man slow to anger calms strife. He's not rash with his mouth. His speech is with dignity, and his tone is encouraging." For both men and women, the New International Version reads in Jeremiah 17:10, it says, "I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve." We can trust in God. And like Connie shared a few weeks ago, if you seek him, he will be found of you. Then in the New Living Translation, in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, it says, "Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant." And your heart is good soil. Life is a journey. It's not an event. Things in life sometimes happen like that, and they're over like that. It's just an event. But life actually is more of a journey. And what a journey is it takes you from one place to another. And where we want to go is from pain to deliverance. Shelter from the storms of life outside. Forgiveness is a major part of the believer's walk. With God, every believer has a right to forgiveness. And forgiveness is a process. It may take time. It just depends to how long it will heal, depending on the amount of damage that has been done. But God can restore to wholeness. Sometimes it can be very quickly if our heart is right and we have armed ourselves with the word and we have protected our hearts with the scriptures. Forgiveness is a major part of the believer's walk with God, and every believer has a right to be forgiven or for forgiveness. God can restore to wholeness. Sometimes it can be very quickly if our hearts are right. Like the record with the man with the withered hand. In Mark chapter 3, verse 1, it says, he entered again, speaking of Jesus, into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And God can restore you back to wholeness. Then in verse 5, it says, when Jesus looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their heart, he said unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. Sometimes people seek counsel on an issue that requires forgiveness, but they're not ready to forgive. I've been through that myself. Rather than displace the darkness with light, they try to perfect the ending to their story. That tells me we need to leave it alone. This is my story, and you know, it hurts so good. Everybody likes to tell their story. But some people get stuck on telling the story, and when they should have put a period, they just added a comma, and it keeps going and going and going. And this happened, and did I tell you about this? That doesn't help. That's not guarding our hearts. We're throwing weeds into that good soil of our hearts, mm-hmm. And you know what you're going to get?
Weeds.
Weed. Okay. You know, I want to say sometimes, here's your Academy Award. That was a great story. You get the award for guest best screenplay. I say, tell your story walking. You could throw your money at psychiatrists. They like that. They may even help you write the most classic line to finish the story. I want to say, kiss my butt and turn it into a love story. You know, I feel for it. I've gone through all these situations, but I want to help people to deliver you, and you should too. You have a responsibility to forgive, but if the offense is so grievous, that does not necessarily include that it requires we get reconciled back to a friendship or reconciled back to a leadership position with the person who has wronged you. You can find a lot of articles where horrific things have happened and Christians are told you need to reestablish fellowship with that individual. Like a child gets molested by a pastor or a teacher, and then the mom and dad are told by well-meaning people they need to forgive the person and have the child reestablish fellowship with that teacher or that pastor, or you haven't really forgiven the perpetrator. Everything doesn't have to be handled yesterday. Begin when you are ready. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Some of us were told you have to resolve a problem before you go to bed. Resolve your heart and handle the rest tomorrow. I don't believe that verse is literally, God is literally speaking about a 24-hour period before the sun goes down. God is speaking of sin if you don't. I think that came from some well-meaning Christian writer. You know, with your kids, sometimes you just let it simmer. You let it simmer a bit and they will give up. Even with the spouse, if you hit the buttons, they might want to, you know, not even discuss it with you. They're frustrated. Don't hit those buttons. If you know there's a button there, leave it alone. I talk about that show that Howie
Mandel
used to do. And, you know, he'd lift the thing and say, we could end the game here and you'll get so much money. And people usually say, no, Howie, and slam the cover back over the button. I don't
deal
want to.
Or no deal.
Deal or No Deal. That's the name of the show. Yeah. No Deal. At times, I think you need to let it settle. I think about children. Sometimes they come in and they're all upset about something, you know, and they're mad at you about something and, you know, they're ready to pitch a fit and they say, that's it, I'm leaving. But for some of us, my mother would go and get a suitcase and put it by the door. And she said, you're going to go. Here's your suitcase. And, you know, I'd look at it and I'd end up back in my room and thinking about stuff. And then I'd come out and I said, I'm not going to leave. And she said, I knew it. She would open it up and the suitcase would be empty. And she gave me the opportunity to simmer down and get settled. If you get to the place where, you know, you're ready to get into violence, physical opportunities, that's nowhere. Get with your minister. You need to see your minister. And similarly, if the cat has not been declared, you need light in your dwelling. You don't need to settle it before nightfall. That can make bedtime something to not look forward to. It's not a time to discuss your gripes. Remember, God set specific times for rest. You're going to go to bed. You need to get some rest. It's time to rest from your labors. Don't allow emotions to determine forgiveness. We've been endued with power from on high. Forgiveness is God's remedy to the hurt. That doesn't mean you have to jump right back into the relationship. Many situations, yeah. The scriptures say, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably. That's in Romans chapter 12. But not all men and women want to live peaceably. Sometimes reconciliation is just not available. Where there's drugs, drinking, abuse, or other spirit manifestations may not be available for a reconciliation. And forgiveness is not just tolerating stuff day after day. It's not necessarily that it has to go to reconciliation. That's just some dopey logic of someone who's afraid to be called unloving by another dope who falls for the great accuser of the brethren. That does not place emotions over the truth of God's word. It's a sin to tolerate physical abuse, so don't accept the devil's abuse. It's not accepting abuse, and it's never tolerating physical abuse. Although it may require your tolerance and time while recovering from your errors or your sins. As I have taught, not all healing is miraculous, you know, instantaneous. Mm-hmm. In John chapter 4, verse 52 is the record of the man from Nain whose son was really sick, and he went and it says, then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend, and they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. Many times healing takes time. We read in the Bible a miracle of healing, but there are other healings, and they took time. Not every healing Jesus was involved with actually was instantaneous. So don't feel bad if you minister to somebody and it's not instantaneous healing. In verse 48, it says, then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Jesus was involved in that particular healing, but it took time. And then verses 49 through 52 of John 4. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they say unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. Jesus was involved with this healing. Amend means it took time to mend. Not like the man with the withered hand where it was instantaneous. There are those records, but there are other things that take time. It took time, but he was healed. But the moment Jesus spoke the words, they were already working in the son's body, bringing about the healing. So it was mending. It was amending. The temptation is to say, I still feel such and such, so I don't think I got healed when he prayed for me. Then you begin to displace light with darkness. And when he prayed for me, then you begin to displace light with darkness and defeat yourself and defeat your healing. It's an effective way that the enemy works. Remember, I talked about Dolores. He has great success with this ploy. The devil is just fishing to keep you under his bondage. The bait has a hook in it. It's not sympathy, although you may feel the pain for someone who trips up. Forgiveness is not sympathy. Forgiveness is an act of compassion. We forgive people, but we don't forgive institutions because institutions have a responsibility to oversee and protect the members from the evil. Marriage is a covenant, and it's every bit as much a covenant as ordination. But God is at the center of the covenant. He will no more turn away from you than anyone. He will no more turn from you. As a covenant breaker, you turn from him. That is not good. His help and kindness extend to extraordinary lengths, but there is a point where you've just turned so far, he can't communicate with you. And the field, the soil of your mind has been so clouded with weeds, almost can't get through them. Your disobedience and rejection of his calling and coaxing only fall on deaf ears. Great example is King Saul. Saul was humble. He was elected king over Israel by God. But after numerous times being called out by the prophet Samuel, his disobedience to God caused many of the children of Israel to lose rewards for the future. In Isaiah 28, verse 7, it says, then said Saul unto his servants, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servants said to him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. Then in Psalm 83, starting in verse 10, it says, which perished at Endor, they became as dung for the earth. So that's what happened. He led them to destruction and death. It says, see how your enemies growl, how your foes rear their heads. With cunning they conspire against your people. They plot against those you cherish. Come, they say, let us destroy them as a nation so that Israel's name is remembered no more. With one mind they plot together. They form an alliance against you. The tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites of Moab and the Hagarites, Byblos, Ammon, and Amalek, Philistia with the people of Tyre, even Assyria has joined them to reinforce Lot's descendants. Boy, they sure got a big group together. Mm-hmm. The hate group. We don't want to belong to that. We don't have no plans to start one. Even Assyria has joined them to reinforce Lot's descendants. Do to them as you did to Midian, as you did to Sisera and Jabin at the river Kishon, who perished at Endor and became like dung on the ground. Make their nobles like Oreb and Zeb, and all their princes like Zeba and Zalmunna, who said, "Let us take possession of the pasture land of God." Well, his pasture land is where God's precious little flock eats. The devil wants to get rid of the word of God in your life and everyone you minister among. Saul led Israel to idols, to worships in the place of God, and opened them up to serving evil spirits and calling it God. And they convinced other people to abandon the word. In this situation, there's no reconciliation for Saul. So God chose David to reign over his kingdom, a man after his own heart, because David was faithful to follow God. Husbands, where are leading your wife and family? I hope not with foolish ego, but with a heart that is on fire for God. Saul allowed his ego to get to him. We are to forgive, but the word doesn't require us to reconcile nor to restore a friendship. Some cases it does, like at Corinth. They said, restore him to the fellowship. We are to forgive, but the word doesn't require us to reconcile nor to restore a friendship. 1 Samuel 15:35 says, this is the New American Standard Bible, Samuel did not see Saul again until the day of his death, for Samuel grieved over Saul, and the Lord regretted that he had made Saul king over Israel. You know, it broke Samuel's heart, because he's the one that had ordained Saul as the king, you know, performed the service and all that stuff, and stood by Saul and went and confronted Saul a number of different times. You have a right to forgiveness, but not necessarily to reconciliation nor even a friendship. There's no right to get even. You know, I had some friends that were into drugs and stuff like that, particularly when I was in the military. And, you know, I forgave them, and my heart was to be a friend. But then they stole stuff from me. Wow. I mean, you know, if there's spirits involved, situations where drunkenness and all that stuff, you have to be careful. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. The word "if" is sometimes conditional, and other times it's not used as a conditional word. But if you look at the context of this verse, it shows that the "if" in this particular case should be conditional. If it be possible, the word "possible" is dynatos. It's related to the word dunamis. That means you've exercised spiritual power. Some people are just not peaceable. As much as lieth in you, you know, you've given it the old college try, or you've put your best foot forward. You've done everything you can. But when you put your foot forward, they decide to stomp on your foot. Mm-hmm. That's not a good idea. So in those types of situations, you may not be able to go all the way to reconciliation. The word "peaceable," live peaceably with all men. It means suitable, fit, not necessarily to the letter of the law, but fit according to the Spirit of God at work. It's the same word as in James 3:17, where it describes the wisdom which is from above. Remember, forgiveness is for you to get your heart clear and fill it with light and displace any bitterness that might have grown up there, any resentments, and fill it with the light and love of God, so you are free to move powerfully and effectively as a minister for God in your ministering and in your witness in life. So bless your hearts.